The disabled are kind of a convenient metaphor for the movies and storytellers, little puddles of misery and misfortune, or childlike little god creatures full of wisdom. The million-dollar baby, paralyzed, poignantly begging Clint Eastwood for death.
I can't be like this, Frankie. Not after what I've done. I've seen the world. Don't let them keep taking it away from me.
Or there's Forrest Gump, a Yoda of mental retardation. Perfect wisdom, absolute good.
Hey, dummy!
Are you proud or just plain stupid?
No, I'm Forrest Gump.
Just run away, Forrest.
Run, Forrest! Run away! Hurry!
These are not the characters who inhabit a brilliant novel and a groundbreaking piece of art that is all about the reality of disability. Good Kings and Bad Kings, a novel by Susan Nussbaum, is a heroic story about a group of disabled people and the people who work with them in a care facility in Illinois. The title comes from a line delivered by a particularly cruel worker who revels in the powerlessness of his disabled wards. Nussbaum, a skilled playwright, disability activist, and a quadriplegic herself for decades from a spinal cord injury accident, wrote this novel in first-person voices for each of the characters whom she unflinchingly calls Crips. The impact is vivid, authentic, really funny, and the little nursing home that could story in this book emerges big, emotional, fresh, and as you're about to hear, Susan Nussbaum successfully turns disability into a much more powerful metaphor for this world's struggles with oppression and intolerance.
Although it's a book on a certain level that's about how disabled people are segregated into institutions and how horribly backward that whole way of thinking is and how it's what victims of the bottom line disabled people are. And it's a huge issue for the disability rights movement. So it was important, I think, on that level to talk about it from the disability world and from that perspective. But yeah, I do see that there are modes of oppression that impact people all over the world that are parallel to this kind of thing or different variations on the same old story.
The first person piece of this is, you know, on one level, you know, it reminds you of other styles of novel writing, but there's a point in here where somebody delivers a first-person account of their own demise that is utterly heartbreaking. And I have to say, in terms of novel writing, way out there. Did you always know that, and I don't want to give everything away, but that would be sort of the center of this novel? Did you know how that's how he would end?
No, I don't believe I do. But I did know there was going to be an ending for someone. And I didn't feel that it was appropriate for anyone else to tell about it. I thought it was, or to, you know, be in the room and watching and talking about it from their living experience. I thought it seemed natural to me that a person who was dying would at the last moments be aware of it and be able to let us, the omniscient reader, in on what was going on.
This book is out in paperback a little later this year. It's been out in hardcover. What responses have you gotten from people within the disability community about the quality of the voices, the authenticity of the voices, the sense of that idea of empowerment and overcoming that vulnerability?
Well, the feedback I get is really good and really encouraging. And I was a little worried about it, you know, because it is something that goes to the core of what the disability rights movement is concerned with. And also this whole notion of representing disabled characters in a way that departs from what we're used to seeing in novels and in movies and, well, by fiction writers in general as the disabled voice, which is of course, as you know, could not be further from our reality. You know, we have these movies, for example, something that people see from birth. There are even cartoon versions of adult disabled characters where the character is mostly concerned with being cured or how they're going to get killed off at the end or the experience of being institutionalized. Those are the ways that these disabled characters are resolved in fiction. And I needed to respond to my own anger at movies like Million Dollar Baby and Forrest Gump, etc., by writing some other characters.
And in terms of a critique of healthcare in America right now, you know, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act and this insanity that's going on in Washington right now. Do you think the questions and the indictment that you make of healthcare in this book as a part of the story, not in a preachy way, but it's certainly in there, is a part of that debate?
Sure. Absolutely. I think that the profit motive is the core piece of every single thing that we see going on in the healthcare system. It's the most mercenary system, along, of course, with the prison system. But in terms of the mass piles of money that is made off of the ill health of our citizens, it's such an important right. And in this country, of course, it's been said many times, it's not a right, it's a privilege.
And in the healthcare system that's depicted in this book, people are denied their humanity. It becomes an innovation to have a company that deals with them as commodities. And yet, in the end, their voices come through. Their humanity triumphs. Happy ending?
In a way. Oh, I think it's an ending with hope. You know, some of the characters don't make it. But I think that there's always hope, and we have to believe that the humanity in all of us will triumph on some level, maybe slowly and unevenly, and maybe in just these completely unpredictable ways, but we've got to evolve because the situation really does stink for too many people.
Susan Nussbaum, Chicago playwright, disability advocate, author of Good Kings, Bad Kings, out very soon in paperback. Susan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.